SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and might as well call it the top of the hour. So we've got, 65 minutes to fill out this morning. James Scully's going to join us momentarily. Ed DeRosa has got a day with the kids. It's a superintendent's day or whatever, you know, whatever qualifies for having the kids not go to school. So Ed's with the kids today. Hope they have a fun day. And we'll talk to James momentarily and get some weekend ideas from him. I've got to update everybody. I alluded last week when the Diversify news became certain that he was not going to participate in the Breeders' Cup. I mentioned that Rick Violette had been ailing again, and it's in an even worse spot now, a week later. Rick receiving hospice care, and everybody, those of you that aren't in and around New York and only know Rick Violette from the past performances and from his long and outstanding 30-year training career, you can't know what a gentleman and what a terrific individual Rick Violette is. And this has really been an unfair scenario that has befallen Rick Violette. And just we're thinking about him and everybody that everybody that cares about the game should give a thought to Rick Violette this weekend. So I wanted to get that in. I'm actually going to throw you across here, Casey, and James as well. And James, I'm going to come back to James in 15 minutes, if that's all right. And Nick Luck, we've got a window for Nick Luck right here only. So let's, if James, I know you're, James, just I think if that's all right with you, we'll come to you in about 15 after we talk to Nick Luck. And, of course, Nick can give us a picture of tomorrow's Champions Day and so many horses, really an amazing amount of horses that are competing tomorrow that have been intended for Breeders' Cup. So we'll get first a glance at the Champions Day card itself and get some thoughts on that, and then what Nick is, since Nick came back from his couple of weeks the broadcasting NBC and the Challenge Series we'll see what he's learned since coming back and getting ready for Champions Day. And among the, among the horses, Crystal Ocean has been under, on everybody's list as well as Lightning Spear. We talked to David Simcock the other day, Lord Glitters, Recoletos for the mile, Roaring Lion, probably the most intriguing. Lawrence, considering Philly and Mare turf as well as the mile. And then there's a lot of familiar horses that we've kind of come to know that are running. Limato, for instance, is running in the sprint tomorrow. And a few others, Rhododendron, another that we've seen in North America. Nick Luck joins us now. And, Nick, I appreciate this because, obviously, tomorrow's Champions Day card has got not just important results to be produced, but then a number of considerations toward Breeders' Cup. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Steve. Good to talk to you. And I'm pleased that we're talking not only about Champions Day, but also about Champions Day with a view to the Breeders' Cup. When Champions Day began in 2011, in its current slot at Ascot, in its current format, everybody worried, really. There just wasn't enough space for three championship race days, Arc Day, Champions Day, and Breeders' Cup Day, all so close together. But, you know, as the exploits of the likes of Found and Highland Reel have exhibited in the last 3 or 4 years, they seem to be able to coexist quite happily, really.
Agreed. And not only that, it feels like it's become a viable option when you look at what happened with Cracksman for those that bypass Arc Day. It then has a, you know, a kind of a shifting sands opportunity.
Yeah. So although Cracksman's an interesting case in his own right, I mean, he is the favorite to defend his crown in tomorrow's Champion Stakes. He's a horse, really, I think if he were in any other stable, would have been running in the Arc last year and this year. But because he's in the same stable as Enable, it ended up that he didn't go to the Arc either last year. Inexperience was put forward as the reason. And this year, the ground wasn't soft enough. But the idea that he's absolutely dependent on soft ground is a relatively recent conceit. So, yeah, I think he's an unusual example. But yes, it can be the case. It's with Al-Zor a few years ago, the best French-trained colt, didn't go to the Arc, did go to the Champions Stakes. And, of course, the Champions Stakes proved a fantastic hunting ground for the wonderful old warrior Cyrus Bezegler, reason being he couldn't run in the Arc because he was a gelding.
Let's pick up the ball there, then, and talk about the group and Cracksman. Start with the Champion Stakes. We know Crystal Ocean, a name that we might expect to make the trip here. Give us the overview.
Well, there's a lot of money on offer for this race. You can see what they're having a go with Crystal Ocean, even if they have got the Breeders' Cup turf in the back of their mind. He is official British Horse Racing Authority ratings, rated superior to Cracksman at this stage, rated 129, plays Cracksman 125. And my colleague Jamie Lynch, who I used to work with on TV, now works on At the Races for Timeform, and a brilliant columnist, he made the very point about Cracksman, is that tomorrow's farewell performance from Cracksman before he retires to stud will answer the question as to whether he's a good horse, had one exceptional day, i.e. his race last year, or whether he's an exceptional horse who had some good days. And I think tomorrow will really decide how he's judged as a racehorse and how he's judged as a stallion, because for all he was brilliant in this last year, he was pretty good in the game when he's come back, was pretty ordinary, won the Coronation Cup at Epsom, and laboured when he was second behind Poet's Voice at Royal Ascot. I think people are just sick of hearing excuses for him, whether it's the ground or the trip or the fact that he is getting more interested in the fillies than he is in racing, or the fact that he requires a certain way of being ridden. I think, as I say, I just think people are sick of the excuses to see the horse produce the sort of dazzling class that he exhibited at the end of last year. And interestingly, he's got blinkers on for the first time as well. And if they help him apply himself, then he's going to be very to crack again, notwithstanding Crystal Ocean and Capri in the race.
regarding Capri and Crystal Ocean, and when you look up and down this lineup, it's a fairly august list of sets of connections between Sir Michael and Aidan O'Brien and Gosden, representing the best chances. That includes Monarch Glen, I suppose, could be lumped into this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would take them in that order, Steve. And Capri has beaten Cracksman, and he's also beaten Ocean. You could argue that on that evidence and at the current odds, Capri is the value. In addition to that, he missed most of the season with minor injuries and illness. He's a huge growth horse, probably needed both his recent runs, was a very respectable fifth in the arc. For all that, he was extremely well-positioned given the way the race run. And if he steps up a little bit on that, on bad, soft ground, he could give them something to think about. Am I confident that he's a horse that can win a Group 1 at 10 furlongs? No, I'm not. But am I hopeful, given the conditions and given the likely test? Then, yeah, I think he's probably the value in the race. Crystal Ocean's an admirable horse. He's a really good horse. Just the type that Sir Michael Stout does well with. There was a bit of me that hoped he would miss the championship, because I thought at the Breeders' Cup turf as a really serious, viable objective. But I suspect Connections probably had it in the back of their mind that once again in the Breeders' Cup turf they'd have to concede weight to Enable, which, you know, which failed to do it in the season. So it's well worth having a lot of money on offer, and he's a justifiable second favourite. And Monarch Glen, you mentioned, there were probably few people during the course of this season that thought John could win this race with the son of Cracksman, son of Frankel, whose name wasn't Cracksman. But if he does, it'll be with Monarch Glen, who's been looking off since Royal Ascot when he did win over 10 furlongs at the track. He won't mind the ground. He's pretty unexposed. And they seem to have calmed his playboy temperament by both gelding him and applying a hood. So I could see him running a big run. I don't think that's beyond the bounds of possibility. I wouldn't even rule out the outside of Verbal Dexterity and Rhododendron running well. But yeah, if Cracksman returns to last year, then he wins.
Is Maverick Wave, what's Maverick Wave's status in this?
Well, Maverick Wave's status is a pacemaker. To be in the race to assist Cracksman. Now, how he assists him, I don't know. Whether he goes on and just makes it a good, even gallop, or whether he just gives Cracksman a lead, whether he goes to the front and tries to mess the pace around and give Cracksman an advantage in that regard. But he is in there as a helper for Cracksman, for sure.
Well, 3:50 local time, and the champion stake of this group, Capri and Crystal Ocean, you expect either or both to make their way over?
To the Breeders' Cup, I would hope Crystal Ocean way over. It's been a race that I've had in mind for some time, but you know, Sir Michael Stout will very rarely commit himself until all the cards are played. Capri's a possible, I suppose. I wouldn't have thought he'd necessarily be the ideal type for an American turf race. He's quite a big, long, striding horse. Maybe the dimensions of an American turf track wouldn't suit him so well. And I think Aidan O'Brien's got other irons in the Breeders' Cup turf fire. It sounds like Kew Gardens is a likely contender for the Breeders' turf.
Very nice. And I'm glad you said that, because I had removed Kew Gardens, and so I will put him back on. Beautiful. All right. I'm glad that came up. Let's go backwards and talk about what is in a lot of ways this is quite a scrum that came together for the QE2, and not the least of which was the decision by Roaring Lion to cut back to the mile. And there is just this is just an absolute war, it looks like, on paper.
Well, this is a very good example of the kind of influence and power that John Gosden has, and it's hard-earned and justifiably so as well, but the same owners have Roaring Lion and Lightning Spear in this race. Now, said owners could have run Roaring Lion in the Champion Stakes, but needless to say, the trainer was keen for Roaring Lion to come here, ostensibly on account of the softer ground and the fact that a mile on soft might suit him better than a mile and a quarter. But it's served to keep John Gosden's two stars apart, but has served to force Qatar Racing to run Roaring Lion against Lightning Spear, who's trained by David Simcock, which is an interesting passage of play. I think Roaring Lion will win, even drop down to a mile. I just think, with all due respect to the brilliant and tough filly Lauren, the redoubtable Lightning Spear, and the talented Rakolitov, I think Roaring Lion is the best horse in the race by quite some margin. And I don't think a drop back to a mile will be a problem. I don't think it's a strong division of milers now that Alastair has departed stage left. So I think he can still win. He's shown this season that he's capable of producing devastating turn of speed. He'll certainly be able to lie up with the pace. As long as he's not undone by the vagaries of the draw, he's drawn 15 of 15 on the straight track. Significant bias against horses racing towards the stand side on this straight mile, then I suspect that he will win. And I don't think 9-4 is that bad a price. But it's a really good race. And I think any number of these could end up in the US if things go right for them tomorrow. Certainly we know that Lauren, she's an intended run in either the mile or the filly and mare. The mile would be a better spot for her because she seems to have got quicker as the season's gone on. She's acquired a lot more mid-race pace. And Lightning Spear, I think, is almost definite come to the Breeders' Cup mile. He's retired to stud next season at the venerable age of seven. So I think tomorrow and then Breeders' Cup mile will be a last hurrah for him. And I'm sure he'll give a good account of himself at Churchill Downs because, you know, he likes fast ground, he likes a strong pace, he travels well. And then if Spring Lion does come, which race does he come for? You know, if he wins tomorrow, does that then chuck the mile into the mix? I suspect not. But it'll either be the Turf or the Classic. And I think John Gosden favours a crack at the Classic with him. So we shall see. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But I expect him to win.
How about Recoletos, Nick? Is certainly getting plenty of attention in the shops and has been on Breeders' Cup mile lists from early on in the season.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty solid horse, Recoletos. You know, he is bang up to Group 1 level, and he has been for a year and a half now. You know, you've got to remember that he finished a slightly unlucky third in last year's French Derby, the Breeders' Jockey Club. But since being back to a mile this season, he's looked a different proposition. He was a winner of the Breeders' Star at Longchamp, beat Almodovar very comfortably earlier in the season. Didn't run terribly well at Asker, the Royal Meeting. It didn't really happen for him that day. There was a bit of controversy about that because he had to do a pre-race test, which I think the trainer wasn't terribly happy about. And he got rather on edge and he was a bit sweaty and on without ever really threatening. I don't think we should judge him on that. Bit of soft ground worth mind. And yeah, his last two runs have been excellent. So yeah, I think he's guaranteed to run a race. I just think Roaring Lion is a fundamentally more talented horse.
How about Lord Glitters for David O'Meara?
Well, this is a very interesting runner. I mean, nothing went wrong when he came to the States last time. It really didn't work out for him at all at Woodbine in that Oscar performance race. He held up off a very slow pace. He's not going to get a slow pace here. He loved the straight mile. He loved Ascot. He loved soft ground. He posted a massive effort in the handicap here at the back end of the card last year. Yes, can see him running well. Good performance when second in the Queen Anne. Yeah, lots in his favour as regards track and the race setup for sure. But whether he quite has such a class that's required to beat all of the above named, I just don't know, Steve.
Well, and we also have got Century Dream, Simon Crisford, who's had a notable year. It seems like Crisford getting back into the training mode really had kind of a breakthrough this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of horses in this race. Century Dream, Beat the Bank, Lightning Spear, Rakolitos, arguably, although I don't think he was at his best, and Lord Glitter. They all tie in quite closely together on form. You know, they're all high-class horses. They're all capable of grabbing a Group 1 on any given day. But I think you've got to take a view whether you think that what Roaring Lion has achieved exceeds that by a significant margin. And I suspect that it does. And you know, if I was going to take one that we haven't mentioned that I think could run a good race, granted conditions, it's a Dave It looked very good earlier in the season for William Haggett. I think he is a bit of a soft ground freak. I think when the mud's flying, he's very, very good. Should point out that since the deluge that we had earlier in the week in the Ascot and London area, it's been pretty dry. It's lovely, lovely fall day here. Not a cloud in the sky, and it's not that warm, but it's a lovely day, and we'll forecast more of the same tomorrow. So it might, I don't think it's going to be desperate ground, but it is definitely going to be on the soft side.
Nick, a couple of questions, kind of random, and I'll ask about the sprint in a minute. Have you heard any update about Without Parole's interest in coming for the Gunthers?
Well, I think Without Parole was an intended runner this weekend at Ascot, but they pulled him out because of the ground. So he's a fit horse, and he's still, you know, he's still, I think, a possibility to come. But to be honest, I haven't heard any more than that, Steve.
Very good. Well, the sprint should be at least touched on, although I don't think we're seeing anybody planning to come. But there's certainly some familiar names, including LaMotto, who, gosh, it seems like we've been talking about LaMotto for 7 years. It's unbelievable. How old is he now?
We have. It's quite an extraordinary horse. He's 6 years old. He's only six. But he's won a hell of a lot of races. You know, he's won 12 of his 25 starts. He has won his last three. He had a horrible start to the season where they tried him over a mile again twice. That's never really worked. Then he was the sick horse when he ran the July Cup. And subsequent to that, he's done really well. And he won a Group 2 at Newmarket last time for the second consecutive year and did it in really good style, did it in the style of a Grade 1 performer. And it's worth a go again. The problem is the ground's gone against him. He does need decent ground, and he'll want it to dry out a little bit more. I mean, I should issue a caveat and say that the ground on the straight track at Ascot does drain quite freely. So I can see why Connections have left him in. I suspect it'll be a walk the course and see. And if it really does start to dry quickly, then he's in with a chance. But he needs it to because he doesn't like it soft.
So otherwise, we're looking at the Tin Man and Harry Angel?
Yeah. Yeah. You're looking at, well, Harry Angel's the best horse in the race, but he's never won at Ascot. Ascot's been his nemesis in the past. He had that horrible experience at the Royal Meeting when he got caught up in the starting stalls. And his first run back, he just went far too hard at Haydock the other day. I'd forgive him the most recent comeback run, but I'm not sure I'd be quite so forgiving of his overall slightly underachieving record at this venue. So, you know, if he goes and bolts up, we'll say, oh, well, he was the best horse and we didn't back him and he was an 11-2 shot. But I think there are just too many risks attached. And the safest horse in the race is the Tin Man, who loves it here, who has the perfect race set up, who's drawn around where all the pace is, and I'm sure he'll go well. But three times his price is Brando, who again loves soft ground. I love the booking of Jamie Spencer on the straight track at Ascot. And he was only just beaten by the Tin Man at Haydock. I'm hoping that a slightly stronger pace, stiffer track in the booking of Spencer and Brando can get a bit closer to the Tin Man and he might represent the value.
A quick survey of the fillies and mares, and Coronet has been expected to come stateside. God Given for Luca Kamani is I've been monitoring her. Kite Surf, apparently Fabra not coming with Kite Surf after Saturday, but those are the three that had a lot of Breeders' Cup chatter.
Well, I don't think Kite Surf's enough of a got enough of a sort of turn of foot, really, for that filly and mare turf. That even at 11 furlong, it can sometimes be run slowly early, and I don't think that would suit her. I think she needs a pace to run at, which she'll definitely get tomorrow. I mean, Aidan O'Brien saddles most of the field. He's got Hydrangea and Magical, who have reasonably good chances. And then he's got Sizzling and Flattering the First Time Blinkers, Tongue Tied Broadway, Bye Bye Baby, and Hydrangea, last year's winner in the cheek pieces. You can guarantee that this is going to be run at an absolutely brutal tempo, and there's going to be no hiding place for Larkin Gar. And frankly, the story is just going to have to keep his eye on where all these Ballydoyle runners are and keep out of their way, I think. It's not going to be easy for him. Stamina test won't be a problem for her, but for a filly of her relative inexperience, I think this could be a tough test, particularly given the shortness of the straight at Ascot, the stretch at Ascot. So I think given how the extent to which Aidan O'Brien's peppering this race, it might pay to side with one of his. And I think Magical showed enough in the arc last time when finishing mid-pack to suggest that back against her own sex, and with that run under her belt, she can go pretty closely around the Ryan Moore. Any number of these could conceivably end up in the filly and mare turf. Coronet, I think, for John Gosden. He's got a good chance tomorrow. God Given, I think, is a possible. And Hydrangea and Magical, I would think, are possible. Are there any of the bridles? I'd be surprised if they came with Larty Dar this year, but given that Lloyd Webber's haven't exactly enjoyed the best of fortune at the Breeders' Cup, I think there's probably an itch to scratch there, and they'd probably fancy a crack at another one.
Well, and of course, for those that might not be aware, this is the daughter of Dar Remy by Dubawi, regally bred. And Andrew Lloyd Webber's had his share of success. This has been a productive family for him.
Oh God, yeah. No, it's been a tremendous family. Dar Remy, the daughter of Darara. Darara was a mare that was bought out of the Aga Khan stud several years ago by the agent Charlie Gordon Watson, acquired a venerable age for $400,000, and I think everyone thought he'd gone mad spending that kind of money on what was quite an old mare. But she then produced Dar Remy, and not only that, she produced Rewilding, who was a brilliant horse for Godolphin before he tragically got killed at Ascot. And then Dar Remy herself has produced Somi Dar, Larty Dar, now Too Darn Hot, the best juvenile in Europe, and The yearling was sold at Tattersall's Book One last week for 3.675 million guineas. So, it's an amazingly productive lineage for sure.
Astounding, and Too Darn Hot, about as exciting a juvenile as they're been in recent memory after last week. And so we've got plenty to look forward to no matter who comes. And Nick, you'll be, when do you come over for good?
I'm coming over on the, when am I coming over? 20th, Sunday the 20, whatever it is, the Sunday before. Is it the 28th?
Very good. All right, the 28th.
Yeah. And so I'll be in Churchill from the 28th and at your service, obviously.
Oh, well, too kind, and I appreciate this very much, because tomorrow's races absolutely will have plenty of impact, and it's a great opportunity, for everybody to get a handle on what we might see, and then there's everybody else that came out of Arc Day and elsewhere, and of course the excitement over Enable. She'll be the biggest star on the card.
Well, listen, I can't wait for tomorrow. Very much looking forward to getting over, and fingers crossed we can see a couple of brilliant performances tomorrow to whet the appetite for Breeders' Cup.
Well, and Nick Luck's performances here, always brilliant, and be watching tomorrow, and we will look forward to having them together at Churchill Downs as well. Nick, thanks so much, and everybody.
No worries, Steve.
I really, this was an impromptu visit and invaluable to give you a primer on tomorrow's Champions Day card. And could be 8 or 9 horses make their way over. We'll make our way to a quick break, and then we'll have an end run to noon. We've got visits from James Scully, Mary Rampolini, and from Steve Anderson. So a lot more Breeders' Cup conversation, because Steve will cover his categories, his divisions for the Breeders' Cup for Daily Racing Form. And that's the turf and the juvenile filly turf. And Mary has got the dirt mile, where there's been some movement this week. Mike Roan with Trigger Warning. And very cool that Mike Roan is going to make his way to the Breeders' Cup. It's been one of the underappreciated stories of the year, the success he's had with Trigger Warning. Let's take a break. Scully comes in. We'll get some plays from James. And we will visit with Mary and Steve before we close it out. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When you're prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer. Please, Mr. Bartender, listen here. I ain't here for trouble and have no fear. One scotch, one bourbon, one beer.
We're back.
I don't want soda, no bubble.
Going to be joined by James Scully and our friend Ralph on Twitter asking about Nick's specific selections. And Nick does do, there is an occasional column. I'll find out if Nick has formal tabs and specific analysis for the card tomorrow. And if you're not following him, you should be on Twitter, Ralph. Nick Luck, N-I-C-K-L-U-C-K. One of the great names in presenting and punditry. There's been a number. Nick Luck, Harry Furlong. That's a classic. And there's a couple others too. I guess in some cases, if you have a certain name, you may be destined to end up in a certain arena, right? I love it, Nick Luck, a natural. James Scully, a natural as well, and he joins us now. James, I appreciate your flexibility because Nick had that window 11:15, so I had to grab it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Not at all. And like everyone, the team at Brisnet and Twin Spires, the blog roll, everybody is combing their information sources and providing all kinds of information, whether it's Vance Hansen and Kelly Riley and Dick Powell and you and Ed and all of the information in one place, brisnet.com/BC, and all the reports. And then, you know, at Twin Spires, you've got, you know, just the spilling of the blog information as well. So We want to make sure everybody's got a central gathering place to get everything they need here over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, we're in the heart of like writing Breeders' Cup features now. Taking a look back, I put up a Breeders' Cup implications of the Kentucky prep races yesterday on Briss. I got a California today and New York tomorrow, and you know, going to be taking a look at some other ideas. Going to focus a little bit on the favorites in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, they've won at a 25% clip the last 6 years, and other than 2013, where five short price winners out of the 13 races, it's been a lot of value available in the Breeders' Cup in recent runnings. I did want to mention one thing from last weekend, Steve. We talked about Woodbine, and I thought that both that Canadian International and that E.P. Taylor were just a perfect precursor of what we could see at Churchill with, the Desert Encounter and Thundering Blue running 1-2 and Sheikha Raika and Golden Legend. I mean, both winners were exiting listed stakes over there and came over and won Group 1s and going to be a deep contingent of Europeans for the Filly Amer Turf, the Mile, and, of course, Enable in the Turf. So I just think we might see more to come on that front.
Well, and that was a big part of having Nick on again here just now to look at the four biggest races, the Sprint, the Filly and Mare, the Queenie 2, and the Champions Day itself, but really with an eye on where these, which of these may turn up stateside, and there is easily, by my count, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 that are possibilities. So tuning in tomorrow to the Champions Day, get your race day going, and then you can turn your attention to Keeneland and to the state bred cards at both Maryland and New York. Let's turn our attention as well to some action. And of course, James, any recap beside what you just mentioned at Woodbine? The Buffalo Trace, Franklin County is going to have an impact because Chantilly's going to participate in the Turf Sprint.
Right. And I mean, one thing about the way the track at Keeneland's played is definitely on the main track. Being on the front end has not been a disadvantage here of late, especially. But I'll start today at Keeneland in the Valley View, a mile and 16th race for 3-year-old fillies on the turf. And I like Poetic Charm in here for Godolphin and Charlie Appleby. This well-bred filly half to European champion, two-year-old champ, Teofilo, has won 4 of 8 starts. And she ran a good race 2 starts back in France on August 15th. She had a trouble trip in there, ran second in that Group 3. And then she came back last time. And really, I thought a good performance. Our Briss race ratings gave that race a 118, which is 1 point better than the Belmont Oaks Invitational. And her race rating of 120 just really lays over this competition. So, post 13 isn't ideal, but like Zulu Alpha was in post 9. And outside posts haven't done poorly this meet. So I'm going with Poetic Charm in the Valley View.
I went over it with Marty. There's a lot of intriguing prices that could, at the very least, juice up exotics.
Yeah, definitely. And, there's a horse in the race right after that, race 10 at that maiden race. But number 3, Brush County, Country, will be breaking from the rail because there's a pair of entries for William Will Be Van Meter, and as he goes, and comes off a real sharp front running effort, I thought, at Churchill Downs. He's 8-1 on the morning line with CJ McMahon. Has been training at Keeneland for since the summer and has trained well over the track. Has some bullet work. He shows Take Charge Indy Colts. So that's another horse I like today on the card.
All right, press into Saturday.
On Saturday, the feature Saturday is the Raven Run for 3-year-old fillies on the main track at 7 furlongs. And definitely the favorites in here, look look pretty good. Alter Moon and Moonshine Memories are both capable and have some tactical speed. But I'm intrigued by this number 12, Shamrock Rose, for Mark Cassie. This filly's run eight times, and in her two sprint efforts, she has won a stake at Woodbine, a juvenile stake, and ran second in the Sakata earlier this year at Aqueduct. And after a third going two turns in the Weber City Mess at Laurel, Cassie shipped her to Woodbine, and she's just blown out her foes in ran her at Prescott Downs and then at Woodbine, and she's just blown out her foes in a pair of all weather starts. Anyway, she has good tactical speed. Tyler Gaffalione is a boarder, and I could see her, if she can get that right trip up close to the pace, she's got a chance in there to price 15-1 on the morning line, Shamrock Rose.
Excellent. That's another big full field again that intrigues with some prices. All right, what else you got?
I'll give one more. In the race before that, or two races before that, race number seven, seeing Belterra shippers come in and run well, and you know, that Patty to me with Victor LeBron and Doug Goodman could be he's 4-1 on the, she's 4-1 on the morning line, but could be a little bit overlooked in here against horses from more prominent barns and with Jose Ortiz and Leperu and other jocks. And I just think she can be controlling speed there at this 1 mile distance, and that's the right run style to have in a race like that. And so I like Patty in race seven, number two.
Well, last week, Nick Tamara liked quick. And so this week we got Patty.
yeah, and that quick, perfect example. It just got the right trip. His last couple races have been, like, in tight and stuff. And you can just get up there and be close to the pace, on or close to the pace. I mean, you could trip out in some of these races. And that was a big one by that quick last week.
Any more? What else you got?
That's really it. I'm still working on tomorrow's card. Those are really the ones I like. I will just say, you know, you mentioned Zulu Alpha earlier. He was claimed in his previous start. We saw in that in the Arctic last week that Hembry be claimed for $50,000 five starts previously, and then win that Group 2 stakes. And, you know, for these sprinters, that present form is more important to me, you know, than the back form. And I'm looking at this Breeders' Cup sprint, Steve, and Imperial Hint. I mean, he's run poorly twice at Churchill Downs on a both fast and wet tracks. I didn't like his last race in the Vosburgh. I mean, that's one of my early opinions I have on the Breeders' Cup. I'm going to be against him on Breeders' Cup Saturday.
Interesting. We'll see who you end up siding with when the time comes. And James, appreciate it. Looking forward to getting to Kentucky, and be on my way after we talk next week.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
James Scully, everybody. You follow James, James_Scully111. And I think we'll stay right here, Case, and have Mary Rampolini join us. Mary working on the Dirt Mile, and also working, of course, on the 37 tracks that she covers at one time for the Daily Racing Form. Mary Rampolini, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Always a lot going on in the Mid-South.
Well, yeah, but you're Mid-South, Mid-East, Southwest. you're all over the place, and frankly, you've had a busy week. We've got the Oklahoma Classics tonight at Remington, and Delta Downs opened this week as well. And you know, I just happened to go look at their results after Wednesday night, and then that prompted me to look again this morning at the Thursday card. They did $1 million on opening night. They did $1.1 million yesterday. I mean, that's a substantial for a B circuit track. Those are nice handles, and I don't look all the time at handles everywhere, but sure. It just sort of caught my attention.
Yes, you know, I think they've really got a lot of horsepower behind them. Large fields, Steve, to start off with. The purses are higher than they were a year ago. So it's just very competitive, you know, large fields type of racing that would, you know, be attractive to horse players.
Well, certainly the card tonight at Remington would be attractive to horse players, and the Oklahoma Classics. I was lucky enough to be there for one, and this is a typical, you know, typical strong night of racing at Remington, and dedicated to the Oklahoma Breds.
Yes, like you said, dedicated to the Oklahoma Breds. They're showcasing the best that's out there. They've got 10 races tonight. 8 of them are stakes, and then they've got a couple of starters allowances, and they're going to have a $100,000 guaranteed pick four on races 7 through 10. So that will be an all-stakes pick four with that minimum guaranteed pool of $100,000. Shotgun Cowboy, of course, Steve, is one of the headline names, or perhaps the headline name on the night.
Well, and a lot of familiar, you know, regular runners in these kinds of races, and you know, really a strong slate for, you know, the breeders and the owners. This is a good card, and those of you that get a chance to play Friday nights, be sure to look at it. Shotgun Cowboy will be the prohibitive favorite, of course, in the classic feature, and there's really every division represented. Anybody up and coming that we should be aware of in this group, in these groups?
Well, I do think, Steve, there's a couple of interesting points I would raise, too. The first race of the night has a filly named Gianna's Dream in there, and she's 5 for 5 over the Remington turf. She's shipping in for trainer Mike Maker, and she's just... Every stake she's won, every race she's won has been a stakes at Remington, as far as her record, her 5 for 5 record. So that's kind of neat. She'll be looking to keep that streak alive. And she's going for her third win in this race, while Shotgun Cowboy is attempting to do the same in the Classic. So the two of them are kind of, you know, highlights to watch. I think the two-year-olds are interesting, as always. Mr. Trout has a horse by the name of... Fast Breaking Cash, that goes in the juvenile race, and he's kind of an interesting up-and-coming type of horse for this market. And then also in that same race, we've got a Texas bred horse that's interesting. An Oklahoma bred horse from Texas that's interesting as well. So I think that the two-year-olds always have a lot to offer, and Dance to My Song was a very impressive horse during Lone Star, and he's getting his first chance at Oklahoma Bred Company in this race. So between Fast Breaking Cash and Dance to My Song, these horses will see some more from going into their three-year-old year in my market.
Well, Lindy Wade aboard the outpost at Dance to My Song, and then things close out with the two-year-old fillies, and really doesn't look like there's a clear favorite in here either. I'm a Stephanie, is 4-1, 9-2 on Brew Casa, and then it careens up Royal Soprano 5-1. So it looks like that could be a wide open affair.
It is, really. And, you know, I thought even the one horse, Tinseltown Flyer, had a chance to do some good in here. You know, she ran on a wet track last time for the first time in her career, and didn't handle also Adventurous Lady, who's probably the best two-year-old filly in my market right now going. And so she didn't run that bad to her one start prior on a fast track. So maybe a little horse for a price, Tinseltown Flyer on the rail.
Well, tonight, the Oklahoma Classics at Remington, and Mary, you've been tracking the Dirt Mile. Let's get your division report and kind of walk through, and, you know, you and Mike Welsh probably exchanging notes regularly because of the horses that are going to maybe cross-enter. We know that, you know, horses like Limousine Liberal, Promises Fulfilled, and Whitmore are looking at both, Firenze Fire as well, and we are getting maybe a little more indication here in the last couple of days which race some of these horses are leaning now.
Yes, like you said, Mike and I have been talking back and forth because we do have so many horses that conflict. You know, Whitmore, in talking to Ron Moquette, he does have a berth. He did win a challenge race for the Dirt Mile. In talking to Ron Moquette this week, they're looking at both races but leaning towards the sprint, and largely because they feel he could get the right kind of pace set up. You know, he's really good when he has something to to run into a nice pace in front of him to run into, and it's looking like he should get that in the sprint. Limousine Liberal is another, just talking to Ben Colebrook this week earlier, he intended at the time I talked to him to pre-enter both the dirt mile and the sprint, but at that time was leaning toward the sprint as well, and boy, what a record he has at Churchill. So yes, those are some horses that are crossing. Like you mentioned, Promises Fulfilled is a horse that could look at both spots for MD Fire. So a lot of crosses there. We do know, talking to Chad Brown earlier this week, Pattern Recognition, the Kelso winner, will not go in the dirt mile. That was a kind of a bit of a development this week. Lone Sailor, the Oklahoma Derby winner, will look at pre-entering both the dirt mile and the classic. That was some news from Tom Amos, talking to him earlier this week. And, you know, those are kind of some new developments. Trigger Warning, the horse that trainer Mike Roan will go in the dirt mile. He was third in the Pennsylvania Derby last out. He's a nice source of speed. I think he's a quick horse coming into this race. But your main contenders, Catalina Cruiser, undefeated, trainer John Sadler, also won a berth, a challenge race, into the dirt mile. And I think City of Light is a horse to really watch in this race.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, a big workout today from Mind Your Biscuits. And it's feeling more and more likely that Chad Summers will opt for the classic with him. And he worked very well today, finishing up particularly well. Got that from Clocker John Nichols. And you bring up, I'm glad you brought up Trigger Warning, Mary, because to me, one of the most discussed and underappreciated stories of 2018 is the Mike Roan success with Trigger Warning and Roan's personal story, which is kind of a heartstring tale. And it's really fabulous that he's going to get Trigger Warning to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, this horse is definitely a very interesting horse. And, you know, he's been 80-1 a couple times and outrun those odds, run some big races. So he's an interesting horse for sure. And like you said, the whole story with Trigger Warning.
Well, and we, of course, talked to Dale Romans last week. Seven Trumpets is going to be here, assuming there's space. Ron Paolucci wants to run Mo Don't Know. Buff Bradley, where's Buff stand with Nice Not Nice?
Yes, I talked to him. It's been a few weeks since I talked to him. He was looking at the Fayette pretty strong, like you said, kind of going the player route. But he was not completely ruling out a start in the dirt mile, but was leaning toward the Fayette. So.
Oh, all right. Well,
yeah,
Mary,
but he's definitely a horse that's interesting as well for his Churchill form.
Well, clearly the West Coast is going to have a lot of say here between City of Light and Catalina Cruiser and Battle of Midway. I made the point the other day after a very good work that people can see on XBTV. The Battle of Midway, I think, is going to be really overlooked, the defending winner. And I think people are going to gloss over him, and it may be a mistake. The Dirt Mile at the one-turn configuration, and you can follow Mary. She will keep tabs on everything going on toward the entry on Monday. Mary, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, looking forward to the race for sure.
Mary Rampolini, and you follow Mary along with all the other DRF correspondents. We've got one more to hear from, and that would be Steve Anderson. Mary's address, DRF Rampolini. Simple. Rampolini, two L's and one N. I don't know how long it took me. I for a while, I was going two N's and one L. I don't know why. Steve Anderson, we're looking for Steve here to close out the morning. We've got exactly 10 minutes, 10, 11 minutes to do the categories with Steve. And his categories, the turf and the juvenile filly turf, as I mentioned earlier this morning, Steve with an extensive interest in the international scene, whether it's the categories that he covers, his interests, particularly when it comes to the jumpers. You know, he goes to Cheltenham on a regular basis, and he might even, you know what, that's the one thing I forgot. I forgot to ask Nick Luck if he had any thought about the horses that are coming over for Far Hills tomorrow. And I will see if Steve has got any thoughts. A reminder that pick four will start with the fifth and the sixth, the second division of the Foxbrook, and then the Grand National, and then the Empire Distaff and the Empire Classic. That's the Far Hills Belmont cross country pick four tomorrow. And for those of you that are going to be looking, I'll certainly, my focus will be Belmont tomorrow with some Far Hills. So I'll put that play together. And our friend Tom Herman, Tom, who has been one of the bookmakers over the years at Far Hills, he sent me a note this morning, and he said, I'm staying home and betting it online. And so the paramutual opportunity at Far Hills, changing the landscape on that front. But Tom will have a write-up. And you know what? Maybe I'll incorporate Tom's got a good opinion on the jump set. So I'm sure he won't mind if I include his analysis. I'll put it up on the website as well with mine. We're looking, Casey's trying to find Steve, and I don't know if he's having, did we find Steve Anderson yet? Oh boy. Yeah, Steve can be tough because he's no? All right. He's constantly on the stomp at Santa Anita, and I was kind of eager to. I've been trying him for last week. He was out of completely out of pocket because he was in Illinois visiting family. All right. Well, then I can at the very least give you his current lineup. And by the way, the those of you that have got the past performance package already, if you subscribe to the Forms Breeders' Cup package, the PPs are either updated or have been updated overnight. So that includes this past week's starts. I mean, the first set went back to October 4th. So the last 2 weeks of starts incorporated now. And then the next set will be the pre-entry PPs. Currently, Steve, looking at, I mean, obviously Enable now that is locked in, and Roaring Lion, but as Nick Luck told you, anticipation that he'd participate in the Classic, which would only add even further international intrigue to an already, you know, heavily skewed international running of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Waldgeist for Andre Fabb. Coming out of the fourth in the arc, Channel Maker, Crystal Ocean, who I brought up with Nick for Sir Michael, and we'll see what happens with Crystal Ocean out of tomorrow's action. Robert Bruce, second in the Joe Hirsch, and you know, clearly a big chance. Cloth of Stars, we were waiting for a decision, and they. I thought that we were going to hear one this week, but it was not forthcoming. So Cloth of Stars still a possible, apparently, out of the third in the arc. Glorious Empire, as you know, has been prepping since the Sword Dancer, and Chuck Lawrence made that, you know, that was by design. He didn't miss a start or anything. This has been the plan all along. He's a horse that needs time between races, and so Glorious Empire, and by the time he shows up here, he'll be a little forgotten about. Capri, brought up again, another one we brought up from Saturday. We'll see what O'Brien's thoughts are. You heard from Nick Luck that Kew Gardens appears to be the intended Coolmore runner for the turf. And then Arklow out of yesterday's good try for Brad Cox in the Sycamore. Big picture, bigger picture, too. Liam the Charmer, Mike McCarthy, and Sadler's Joy is set. I reached out to Tom Albertrani, got an update from him. Steve Anderson, we've only got about 4 or 5 minutes, but Steve, I just was surveying the turf landscape based on your tracking. Good morning.
And good morning. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting race this year, and we'll know a lot more at the beginning of the week as to what participation the Europeans have and to the depth of that field. Maybe perhaps even tomorrow's Champion Stakes at Ascot will produce some clues as to what to expect. Of course, Enable is going to be favored in the Breeders' Cup turf, and deservedly so off of her second consecutive win in the Arc, and a remarkable little return to racing with only one prep race at on the all-weather surface at Kempton. So, you know, history's against her. No Arc winner has ever come on and won the Breeders' Cup in the same year, so that's going to be tough, and they are going to line up behind her. She's not scaring them off. Looks like Andre Faub is bringing Talismanic, who was the 13th, I think, in the Arc, but won the Breeders' Cup turf last year at Del Mar. But more importantly, he's bringing Waldgeist, who was a Group 1 winner in Europe in the summer and was fourth in the Arc. Not beaten, but less than 2 lengths, I think. So he's maybe a little bit of a wise guy horse, but certainly brings full credentials to win at Churchill on November 3rd.
Well, and among the Ascot runners, we talked to Nick Luck in the last half hour as well, Steve, and I asked about Crystal Ocean and Capri. You know, we'll see. He said that Kew Gardens, he believes Kew Gardens is intended for Ballydoyle.
There's some indications that that's correct, and so much as there's some support for him in the future book market over there with the bookies. And, you know, Aiden kind of surprises people sometimes with some of his Breeders' Cup choices because they've got... you know, somebody to pick from. And, you know, there's also the Hong Kong race in December they always support, too. So they've got to choose as to whether or not they want to run some of those nicer, older horses once more this year or try two more times. So no reason not to think Kew Gardens couldn't run a race as well. He's a very nice, colt on the upswing, too. Not a bad performance in the Arc, but, you know, better in England earlier in the summer.
After the Euros, the American chances, Channel Maker and Robert Bruce, Glorious Empire. I mentioned while we waited that Chucky Lawrence fully intended to take this time between the Sword Dancer and the Breeders' Cup. A horse that's not in your top ten, but Sadler's Joy, who... I got to say, there feels like there's going to be pace in here, and Sadler's Joy very well may like, he's never run at Churchill, but this feels like a turf course configuration-wise that will play to his strengths.
I think so, too. You know, he's going to be under the radar, as you described. He's going to be a decent prize. Most of the American horses are going to be double digits, so there's going to be good chances to exploit a long shot if that's the sort of horse you like, and they can perform well. Glorious Empire is a fascinating horse. He was the king of Saratoga this summer. He had a great summer meet there. And, you know, who would have thought a Delaware Park claimer would be in the discussion for, the Breeders' Cup turf. But that's that. And he has really improved with the distances. And I think he might be more of a firm ground horse, just to guess. But I'm going to think that he's going to run a race. Of the Americans, that's the one that catches my attention first.
Quick survey. Let's go to your other race. That's the Juvenile Filly Turf. And everybody that saw a newspaper of record quickly assumed that Chad Brown had this year's winner wrapped up. But subsequently, we have seen a number of impressive performances, including Just Wonderful, Concrete Rose, Lily's Candle, the crazy story involving Buzz Schwartz buying the night before and then winning at 40-1. There's some other interesting players lining up against Newspaper of Record.
Who deserves full credentials and the role of favorite. Chad Brown's done extraordinarily well in this race since inception 10 years ago. But the one that does catch my attention is Just Wonderful. It's interesting to note that Aiden O'Brien's never won this race, and he's always got three or four brilliant two-year-old fillies running between England, France, and Ireland. This race is eluded, and he's been second a few times. This year might be the exception. Just Wonderful might be easy to back, and she won the Rockville at 7 furlongs at Newmarket back on September 28th. But remember, that was an uphill finish, and then that's the sort of course that could prove to be a good stamina test for for a runner in the park for just a second, guys. For a runner that you know needs probably wants more ground than 7-8. So that's a filly that I think is going to be tough. Might even be good enough to beat Newspaper of Record.
Steve, we're out of time, but I'm not going to let you go without asking you if you're planning to bet all seven races at Far Hills tomorrow.
I'm going to do a lot of it. I can promise you that. And Gordon Elliott's jury duty in the big race is intriguing to me. That's one horse I looked at a few times. He's got some good Cheltenham form in the past, and I think he's a horse to consider. So that's going to be fun tomorrow. I've been to that event in 2001. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. They do a smashing job. And if anybody's in the New York, New Jersey area and has some free time tomorrow to go to the races, that's certainly a day out to recommend.
We always enjoy catching up with Steve, and we'll get a fuller conversation with him before Breeders' Cup. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Steve Anderson, and abbreviated, but you got a couple of ideas out of Steve there, right? All right. Hope you got plenty of ideas for the weekend and beyond. Want to thank Steve Anderson, Nick Luck, Mary Rampolini, James Scully, Sean Clancy, Jim Dunleavy, Dick Tamaro, Marty McGee, and Casey back there in Margate. Good luck this weekend, everybody. Good luck if you're playing the Stronach 5. I'll see. I'll put a play together. I got a few minutes here, and then we head out for the weekend. HRRN at 3. Tomorrow morning, of course, the talk shows here on Sirius XM, Equine Forum, and down the stretch. And we'll talk to you Monday at the races. Thanks, everybody. Good luck this weekend.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.